We're going to talk about Father's Day a little bit today. What the Lord laid on my heart is the subject of, you know, how us men need to man up. You may remember, has anybody ever told that to you before? Man up, and I know not your women, hopefully. But how many men have had their father or somebody they know told them to man up? You know, and sometimes that can have some negative connotations, but I really feel spiritually we as men need to man up. And what happens is that there's so many voids in our culture today. If you kind of study culture a little bit and look at patterns and how things have kind of, you know, went over the last, you know, 30, 40, 50 years, you kind of see there's been kind of a change. And manhood has been under attack for quite some time. If we could turn on these fluorescent lights right here, these also. Makes me look a little bit better. Second one over, on the bottom. Does that help? No, the other one. Turn this one off and that one on. We got the Goldilocks thing going on here. There we go. And then turn these white ones, these fluorescent, there we go. We found that that's the best color spectrum for my color of skin. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. That's just how we did. That's just how we've been doing it for 10 or 15 years. No, not that long. But anyway, there are many voids in our culture. And one of them voids that is lacking is godly men and how important it is that we men step up. You know, for whatever reason, men have rejected their calling from God to be the spiritual leaders in their homes. You know, I'm talking about servant leadership now because the other kind of leadership is domination and domineering and being verbally abusive. That's not leadership. You know, that's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about servant leadership and what all that means. You know, that we need to love our wives as Christ loved the church. And that's the kind that we need to do. So, you know, that kind of leadership sets a godly example for other people to follow. And what I've noticed over the years that most divorced men do not like it when somebody else is raising their kids. I think that's a fair statement. You know, sometimes the situation is okay, but a lot of times they don't like somebody else raising their kids. And to me, the same thing has happened spiritually, is the fact that, you know, this starts when we men have divorced ourselves from God's given responsibility to be the godly leaders in our home. And when men fail to lead, somebody else will. That's just the way it is. Somebody's going to lead. And we need to decide, are we going to be that person? Are we going to be the one that steps up and leads our family spiritually? Because I know sometimes many men feel uncomfortable maybe being the spiritual leader in the home. Maybe you don't feel like you're trained. All these things kind of come into play. Maybe your father wasn't the spiritual leader in your home, and so you don't really have that example. Well, good news. You know, that's what church is about. We can help you. We can help you to be the spiritual leader. Like I try to tell the teachers, you don't have to know everything. You just got to know more than the people you're ministering to. Right? So you don't have to know the whole Bible to start out helping people spiritually. You just try to know a little bit more than the ones you're helping. And sometimes that's a low bar, and so we can do that pretty easy. A couple quotes God gave me. I have several today. But men, we need to decide what kind of man you will be, or the world will form you into that man it wants you to be. And that's what's happening in our culture today. Men are afraid to step out and afraid to step up and afraid to step in to the calling that God's given them due to the social pressures of our society of being under attack for, you know, being the leader that God's called us to be. So what has happened is that many men have remained silent and even ran from their posts to be able to make that stand, you know. And that's a gifting that God's given us as a man to be the spiritual leader of the home. And we need to step into that. And I'm going to encourage you to do that today. So we need to stop practicing conformity and start living the transformed life. Do not let the world conform you into what the media says that we have to be as a man. We need to let the Word of God and talk about the transformed life. And when I say trans, I mean transformed is when I say trans. We need to be transformed by the Word of God. And I'll be honest, you know, God's Word is powerful, and it can make us into the people that God wants us to be. All we got to do is let it. It may take a process, may take a little bit of time, but we got time, don't we? And we'll get there. And the best thing you can do as a man is to be able to lead your families and to be able to stand in that gap and fight that good fight of faith. Because if we don't, the devil and this culture is going to eat our families alive. And we need to get back and take back what the devil stole. We're going to look at a couple of scriptures. Yes, this is going to be hopefully stirring. Hopefully no condemnation, just conviction. I know I like to be kicked in the pants every now and then. You know, that's when I feel I really got something. You know what I'm saying? No pain, no gain. You ever heard that one? No guts, no glory. Whatever. Anyway, but 1 Corinthians 4:15-16. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 15 and 16. And it says, "For if you were to have countless tutors in Christ, yet you would not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I exhort you to be imitators of me." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you today for the unction of the Holy Spirit. Pray for a special stirring in each of our hearts. Lord, we proclaim in the name of Jesus that we're taking back what the devil has stolen. Lord, I thank you that we do not be conformed to this world into what the world says a man is. They don't even know. But Lord, we thank you what the Word says. And Lord, what you've called us to be. That Lord, the most happy, the most at peace that we will be as men is when we step into the center of God's will. So right now, Lord, I thank you for, I just yield to the gift you put in me. I want to use it for your glory. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so what I see from this, there's a difference between a tutor and a father. And we're going to look at that a little bit. So first, we're going to look at the idea as the need for fathers. The need for a father. And, you know, I believe that God has placed a special anointing on men, and that we as men have a special skill set that sets us apart from women. As my wife kind of mentioned, there's certain things, and you know, when they polled my children, my three children, notice none of them said I was fun, did they? You know, they could have said I was almost like a golden retriever. I was faithful. You know, I was steadfast. I was, you know, I was there all the time, you know, whatever. You know, nobody said I was a real hoot to be with. And I can accept that, I guess. But I was hoping one of them would have. But anyway, fathers have a unique skill set. Number one, we're the provider protector. We're to provide for our families and we're to protect our families. We're to stand in that gap and to be able to beat back the darkness and not allow that stuff to come into our homes. And to be able to, you know, stand there and know that God has given us that special anointing. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. Amen? We're not going to stand on that sand. You know, whenever we let the world tell a father what we're supposed to be like, that's standing on sand. I mean, the world has changed so many years. I mean, you know, God bless the World War II generation. Them men were men. And most of them are gone now. And we have a void in our society of what it means to be a real man, to be able to stand in that gap. So, you know, we need to see men as, that we're the provider and that we're the protectors of our family, and that's what we need to do. We need to make sure that we fulfill that role. Number two, you know, we're an anchor. We bring stability to our families. You know, we bring that stable force that, you know, kids can look up to and the wife can look up to and say, yeah, you know, things are better now. Dad's home. We need to have that going in our life. You know, that means that our character has to have to model that. Number three is that we, men also in our skill set, we have an authoritative communication style. You know, we're more of a suck it up buttercup kind of person, aren't we? Now, granted, our tone, I know that does mean something. So, you know, we need to kind of work that out sometimes. Sometimes we can be a little harsh. I have been accused of being harsh sometimes, you know, back in the day, last week. But anyway, but we do carry a special voice, shall we say, that God's given us as a man in the household and in the family, that we speak with authority. And we need to use that and to be able to, you know, bring correction and things to our families. And fourthly, we need to be a role model. You know, them little eyes are watching. And they're going to copy what we do. And so we need to be a godly role model. That means that, you know, are we doing things, you know, that we want people to follow us in? And that's important, you know, that we understand that. And number five is that we need to have the ability, I guess, to teach basic life skills. You know, we need to train our children and our families just in the basic things of life, things that need to be done. Taking care of business, you know what I'm saying? Being able to do that. We need to make sure that our children understand that, because we won't be around forever. And so we need to make sure that that's part of our role. And so what's the difference between a father and a tutor? Or a tutor is a teacher. See, we've all had a lot of teachers in life. As a matter of fact, the Corinthian church, the Greeks, they loved to listen to teachers. They had traveling teachers of the day, and they would come through and they would spout this information, this knowledge, and the Greeks were known, they want to hear something new. They want to hear something that nobody's ever heard before. Make it exciting, you know? But see, we've had so many tutors in our life. But see, tutors tell us what to do, while a father, they show us what to do by their life and their example. You know, we learn better by watching sometimes than people telling us what to do. And so when we see our fathers, especially, you know, living up to the standards that God has placed for us in the Scripture, it makes us see that things are attainable. And we need to see that things are attainable. A lot of people says they can't. How I look at it, it's very simple. If somebody else can do it, I can do it. This simple theology. I was just counseling somebody the other day, and I told him, I said, hey, you're not the only person in this town with your situation. Other people are surviving and winning. You need to stop seeing yourself as defeated and start seeing that you can win. If they can win, you can win. Amen? And we need to see that in our life, that if other people can do it, I can do it. See, tutors come and go, but fathers are there for the long haul. Now, that's not the case totally in our culture. We need to turn that around. There's so many things that have unraveled in our culture. We don't really, probably are not aware of it. The idea when Christianity was kind of kicked to the door in many places. And what's happened then, it's broken up the family unit that used to be a husband, wife, and children. And what happens then is that a lot of things change culturally and sociologically, I guess, how people interact and how they do things. And I'm sorry just to put this blunt, but a lot of men haven't stepped up, so the woman has had to. And now that the woman has stepped up, they don't want to let the man lead. And that's what's happening in our culture. So when a woman finally gets a godly man, she won't listen to him. And so how do we fix this? No, I don't know. I'm just asking. You guys got any ideas? How do we fix this? How do we get back to the way God wants us to be? Now, you know, I know it's not easy, but it's worth it. See, Paul was challenging these people because they had chased after all these other voices and rejected, listened to the voice of their spiritual father, which was Paul. Paul was their spiritual father. He founded that church. And then, like I said, they had all these traveling ministers come in, and they had led their hearts away from the Father. I mean, how much of the world is doing that today through social media? They're leading our children's hearts away from the voice of the Father, the voice of reason. So they'll listen to all these other voices. We got to stop that. We got to put a stop to it and get back to what really God says is going to work. So it's a warning for us not to chase after all those voices that just tickle our ears, but to listen to the voice that speaks truth to our souls. That's what we need, is truth. And believe me, there's a void in our world today. There's a void in our world today. There's a lot of people need a father's voice to speak into them. And we need, as men, and sometimes, you know, here at church, it gives us a great opportunity to be able to help other people, to help other children that may not have the voice of truth in their life. And we can share that with these young people and give them something that really deep inside they are craving. Paul said something here that to me is kind of scary. He said the words, imitate me. Imitate me. Have you ever played follow the leader? I mean, what do? You kind of are supposed to mimic everything that you see the leader doing. So whatever they do, you do it. And you have to do it just like they're doing it or you're out. Paul was bold enough to tell the Corinthian church to imitate me. See, that to me, that's a bold father statement. Imitate me. How many here would feel comfortable saying that to your children? Meaning, hey kids, whatever you see me doing, I want you to do. Whatever. Whatever I do, I want you to do just like I do. A lot quieter here today for some reason. You know what I mean? To me, that just boom, wow. Have you ever watched your kids act like you? I mean, it's good when they do the good stuff, but it's a bummer when they do the bad stuff, right? But Paul was bold enough to say, hey, I'm comfortable in my faith. I'm comfortable in my skin. And men, we need to get to that place where we're comfortable in our faith and comfortable in our skin, where we can actually look our wife and our kids in the eye and tell them, follow me as I follow Christ. And God bless the men that want to do that, because it's very important. So we need to man up, men, and be the leader of our families that can trust and they can follow us. We have to have them trust us. Now we're going to get into correction. This is something that men do. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 7 to 11. Hebrews 12, verse 7 to 11. Nobody knows who wrote Hebrews. We know the Holy Ghost did, so that's good enough for me. But it says here in verses 7 to 11, it says, it is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for good, so that we may share his holiness. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but yet sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Now I can tell you that as a father whose kids are all out of the house now, that at the time they may hate you, or so they say, when you bring discipline to their life. But when they go out on their own, they're going to start liking you again. They're going to thank you for some of the rules and the things that you have set up in the family, because it pays off. That discipline. There's a word there that we don't like to talk about, and that's called godliness. We need to be godly people. We need to raise up godly families. That doesn't mean we're going to be perfect, but the idea of what it means to walk in holiness with our God. So to me, fathers need to define the boundaries for the family. What's the boundaries? You know, I had some boundaries in my family growing up, you know, for my kids. These weren't when I was growing up as a kid, but for me, you know, the one where Joshua said that thing, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. So, importance of being the spiritual leader in the house, being that example. I know a lot of men turn over a lot of things to their wives, and granted, the wife may know more about the Bible sometimes. The wife may be somebody that maybe feels more comfortable praying. And so what happens is some men feel intimidated by that. All I can say is man up. How are you going to get better? By practice. Do it anyway. Pray. Ask God to help you, give you the grace, and He will. One of the boundaries I set as a family, if you live under my roof, you go to church on Sunday and Wednesday. That's just the way it is. If you don't like it, move. That's just the way it was. That sounds harsh, but that's the way it was. You live in my house, you go to church. You eat my food, you go to church. Some people say, well, I don't want them to hate church. Well, it sounds like for whatever reason, we got kids whose parents don't even go to church fighting to get here. You know what I'm saying? We have kids whose mom and dad do not go to church, but yet their kids beg us to come pick them up to be in this place, so it must not be us that's the total problem. It's the attitude of your child that needs to be dealt with. You know what I'm saying? Boy, this sounded a lot better in my head than when it came out, you know what I mean? But anyway, and we try to make church fun for kids a little bit. I mean, probably too fun. I get criticized for letting the kids run a little bit too much. But, you know, to me, church is fun. It's an enjoyable experience. It always has been. You know, ever since I got saved, well, maybe that's the problem. Maybe your kids ain't saved yet. Huh. Hey, we can work on that. Right? We can get them saved. So what we have to do is to learn how to possess our soul, then, or somebody else will possess it. That's what we're trying to do. Teaching you how to possess your soul, how to be in control of your situation and your circumstances, how to be able to walk in the light as He is in the light. And when you do that you don't have to be subject to that conformity again, that when the world tries to mold you, you say, no, I don't have to do that. That's not who I am. This is who I am. I'm who God says I am. So we have to set those boundaries as a father. Now, I've had people, you know, say, well, you know, I just worship God in nature. You know, God's in a tree, I guess. I don't know. Well, I tell you what, you got Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You got 5 days you can worship God in nature. But on Saturday and Wednesday, we worship God together as a family. That's how we do it. That's how we grow. That's how we learn from each other. That's how we get strong. That way, you know, some people say, well, you know, I don't have anybody, you know, to go to talk to in prayer. Well, if you come and you get to know other people, you know, especially on our Wednesday night here, you know, we have some social time, but Wednesday night we have our small groups. People get to know each other and they start to talk to each other and they start to pray for each other. Then they have somebody in their court. That when you go through a hard time, you have people praying with you. That's so important. Because I'll tell you what, there's a lot of attacks out there, right? There's a lot of things that you and I go through in life. And sometimes, you know, whatever happens, kick the wind right out of our sails. But I'll tell you what, when you have somebody you know that, hey, I could use prayer. Well, there you go. Just talk to some of your people that you've met and say, I need this prayer, and you know they'll keep a confidence for you. So another thing about fathers setting boundaries is that when we set firm boundaries, temptations have no power. Think about that. When you set a firm boundary in your life saying, I won't go over there. Let's say you struggle with some certain sin in your life and you set a boundary to stay away from that. Well, whenever temptation tries to come, you know that fence is there, that guardrail, And it's not going to let you go past that. Why? Because you've predetermined a decision for a boundary. And that's what we do with our kids. That's what we do with our families. This is our boundaries, guys. This is what we do, and this is what we don't do. In case a kid is ever put into a situation where their friends are saying, hey, let's go do this. It'll be fun. What could go wrong? Well, if dad has already said, hey, this is our boundary. We can do this, but you can't do that. And the kid will know, hey, there's a boundary there. I can't do that. When they get 18, move out on their own, do whatever they want. But right now, as for me and my house, this is the way it is. This is the way it is. You know, and believe me, they'll thank you later. They will. Because you're molding them into a responsible person. So the proof of if you're a father, the proof of real fatherhood, is that you're willing to bring correction. Willing to bring correction. And so fathers, one of our skill set is that we bring correction to the children's life. Now, biblical correction is done out of love and not anger. We have to remember that. You know, so we're not getting mad and then flying off the handle. If you're angry, step back for a minute. Never strike your child. I say never strike your child with your hand. You know, we have a paddle at home. I mean, it's tougher now. The kids are in their 20s. I can hardly wrestle them down, but no, I'm just kidding. But, you know, you never strike your kid with your hand, you know, because your hands are made for love, okay? So the Bible says, don't spare the rod. So we had a little rod stick, never hit the hurt, just hit the bend correction. What I would do is I'd have them sprawl over the couch with their hiney on the edge of the couch and their hands up here so they can't put their hands back to block, because that'll hit their hand and hurt them. So their hands are stretched out, and I say, in the name of Jesus, give them a little swat, I drive foolishness from you. Because that's what the rod drives. It drives foolishness from the child. Then after you're done, you give them a hug and say, I love you. And, you know, I have learned this. You ever heard that old saying, right when you're going to maybe discipline your kid, and they say, and you tell them, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you? Don't smile when you say that. It just loses all the power because they don't believe you. They know they really believe you're enjoying this part. But I don't think any parent loves to have to discipline their kid. It's not something we do joyfully. We do it responsibly. Because nobody likes to have to spank a kid. At least we shouldn't. That shouldn't be our thrill in life. You know. But anyway, so it's important that we do that, because if we don't discipline our kids, you know, it kind of says a child without discipline is illegitimate. I mean, these are harsh things it says here. So it tells us the importance of what to do. Now, to me, old school fathering may have had a few issues, but they sure knew how to make men out of boys. And that's what we lack in our culture today. Men are not producing, making their boys into men. And that's an issue. And we have so much weakness. So the idea of holiness and how important that is. See, the goal of discipline and instruction is to bring that holiness and righteousness. So we have that right standing with God. And like I said before, if we do not learn how to possess our soul, then somebody else will. Now lastly, I want to read this last scripture. And this is really the one that the Lord laid in my heart. And I wanted to build to this. It's found in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13 to 14. And it says, be on the alert, stand firm in the faith. And I like this part. Act like men. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. So, the idea of their acting like men, that word act is talking about the word in the Greek, andriso, which means to conduct yourself in a manly, courageous way, not like a child. So there's a difference there. There's a difference between men and children. And there's a difference between somebody that's acting like a man and then a man who's acting like a child. Right? Some men act like children. They're not stepping up and fulfilling their role and on how that all takes place. See, God wants to make men out of boys while the world is trying to make boys out of men. And culturally, and in our culture today, you know, through the media and all these things, you know, manhood is under attack. There's so many things that's trying to undermine what it is to be a godly man. You know, and some people can't even define what a man is. They can't even define what a woman is. But God knows in the Bible, it tells us exactly what they are. God created Adam and Eve, male and female. And Eve was taken out of Adam. And the idea that we are different for a reason. We have different roles. So that if we have different roles, we have different goals. Correct? So we should have different goals on what we want to achieve in our families and the things that we're called to do. And, you know, God will give us the grace to do that, but we have to make those decisions. You know, it tells us to be on the alert. That means you got to stay alert. You know, no sloughing off. You know, stand firm in the faith. That means you got to have faith. And then it says to act like men, and then it says to be strong. Got to be strong. Way to go against the tide. Way to go against the flow of this world, that mighty river of the world that is trying to drag us down. And it tells us there to do it in love. So to me, love must be tough and not wimpy. Love is not mean, but it has to be tough. Sometimes you have to have tough love. Sometimes you got to do the things you know. And, you know, some man up moments. This is what, you know, God spoke into my heart. I got a few man up moments that'll help us here today as we're winding this down. You know, we need to, number one, we need to make the unpopular decision with the kids. We're their father first and their friend second. I've never seen so many people that want to be their kid's friend all the time. And, you know, it's great if you can have a great relationship with your kid, but we have to be the parent first, both men and women, especially as a father. We have to be dad. You know, you can't just try to do things to make friends with them, and I know it's hard. Sometimes to have to want to make that hard call. But we have to do that. So we have to be the father first. You know, what is my role as a father? Well, it says that we're supposed to be a man. We're supposed to have courage. That we're not supposed to be afraid. You know what courage is, right? Courage means you do it even though you're afraid. Courage doesn't mean that you're never afraid. Courage means that you do what's right even in the face of fear. And this goes for every Christian on the planet. Sometimes we have to do things. We have to face our fears. Because fear will hold us down. It'll put us in a box and it'll make us stay there and it won't let us out to go and do the will of God. So we have to face those fears and put them down. You know, to me, I don't want to oversimplify it, but fear is a feeling. And feelings lie. Feelings change as much as the weather. And we can control our feelings through the Word of God. Number two, we need to swear by our own hurt. That means keep our word no matter what. If we say we're going to do it, do it. And that way we don't say radical things. Things that are too far out there. Have you ever done it as a parent? Your kid does something and they say, you're grounded for a year. Well, both of you know that's not true. Right? I mean, has anybody ever been grounded for a year and it really stayed the whole year? I mean, you have my deepest sympathies if that happened. But no, usually we just meant for a long time, but we said it wrong. That way you need to chill a little bit and don't say something you don't mean. You know, and, you know, I'm going to take your cell phone away for a year. Well, then your kid goes somewhere, and you need to get a hold of them. And so you give them back their cell phone a week later. Well, you just lost your credibility. So make what you say reasonable. You know, you can word like, hey, I'm taking your cell phone away till I see fit to give it back to you. Now that you could do. But don't overdo it. So when you say something, you want to make sure you can keep it, and you want to make sure that you do keep it, because that goes a long way. See, if we always stand for what we believe in, we will always know where we stand. You need to write that one down. If we always stand for what we believe in, that means it doesn't matter. No compromise. Doesn't matter if you're at work and nobody else is a Christian. Well, boo-hoo. This is where I'd say suck it up. But as a pastor, I can't say that. So I say, oh, you can do it? Come on. Come on, team. You can handle it. See, we fail to realize the idea of God's grace. You know what God's grace is? God's strength inside of you working. The Bible says when we feel weak, that is when we are strong. So when we need God's grace, it's there. All we got to do is tap out and do it. You know, God can do it through you. We just got to let him do it. So we need to always stand on what we believe in. Next, men, already talked about this, but be the spiritual leader in your family. I'd say I'd encourage you to start doing some devotionals as a family. If you don't know how to do those, see me. I can help you. We have a lot of information, and it don't have to be an hour long. That's the worst thing you can do the first time. Bless God, family, we're going to have a family devotional. So you sit down for an hour, and about 15 minutes in, everybody's ready to leave, and nobody wants to do it again. No, don't overdo it. Just start off something simple. Maybe read a little scripture. Try to figure out what that scripture's saying, and then pray. Believe me, that spiritual connection that you're having with your family in that 5 or 10 or 15 minute time is going to have humongous results later on. And maybe you don't have a child yet. Husband and wives do it together. Start that habit. It'll help your marriage. It'll help your relationship when you do things together. Next, we need to walk in the dominion God has allotted to us. We have to understand that God has given us a dominion. God has given us authority as a man. And we need to walk in that dominion. And you may say, God, I don't know what that is. Well, here's your first step. God, not sure what my dominion is, but show me. I want to walk in that dominion. And God will do it. Next, have courage and conquer your fears because people depend upon you. We all have fear, but we have to have courage and conquer those fears. When you're the father and you're the leader of the family, you cannot afford to cower in fear and to let the world run roughshod over your family. We have to face those fears, and they will back down. Strength of soul means more than strength of body. You know, so, hey, lifting weights is good. I like doing it. But your strength of your soul is a lot more important. Be a strong person on the inside. And two more here. Men, be the man that your wife will follow and your children look up to. That should be one of our goals. You know, most godly women want to follow a godly man. That doesn't mean the man's domineering. That's not what we're saying, because that's where our mind goes sometimes. But the roles are different. And what the man's responsibility is to do, because the man has to stand before God and give an account for how he led his family, right and wrong. So there's a lot of responsibility on the man's side. And lastly, real men make their families feel safe and not afraid. That's what we do. We make our families feel safe because when daddy's home, they know that the protector has just stepped in the house. And we can feel secure and we can feel safe and we don't have to be afraid anymore. Because daddy's a godly man. And I've seen daddy get on his knees and fight like a man and pray through for breakthrough to be able to see the demons of darkness have to flee. And that's part of what being a man is all about. And I encourage us men today to decide to make that kind of stand and what it means. And, you know, hopefully nobody felt put down in any way, shape, or form today. Hopefully you just felt challenged that, yes, it is possible. It is possible that God can stir us up on the inside to want to be that godly leader in our families, to be able to protect our families, especially spiritually. I have no doubt in my mind, no doubt in my mind, men, that we can't beat back the demons of darkness away from our family. That's so easy to do. So easy to do. You just got to have faith. You just got to be able to stand in the gap. And you just want to do that. And I'll tell you what, your family is going to respect you. Because that's what men need in life. Women need to feel loved. But men primarily need to feel respected. And if a woman doesn't feel love, what happens in the relationship? It's not good. She doesn't feel fulfilled, and it affects the relationship. Well, it's the same way if a husband, some of you men are getting really uncomfortable looking out here when I said that. Some of you men, if you're not feeling respected, it's the same thing. If your wife is always undermining you and undermining your authority, it's the same problem. So we need to work together. Work together as a family. Our family is a team. And a team is only as weak as its weakest player, or as strong as its weakest player. So that's why we need to start building each other up and not tearing each other down. Amen? Because it's us against the devil, right? Amen. Well, let's close in prayer.